Good afternoon, Chair. Can you hear
Sir,
me?
Can
you hear me? Can you hear me, Chairperson? Hello? Yeah. Malakan many worry.
Yes, Chairperson.
Can you hear me?
Yes, bo.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. This is a session now.
Okay, my darling.
All right. Invite the candidate. Okay, Leon. Volume, open your video. Sorry? Our candidate is Miss Moya. Ne? Right. Yeah. Chair. Gillon.
I can hear you, Chairperson.
We can't hear you. Maybe. I'll speak. But why echoish? No, I'm mutila malo. No, when makate so. Why?
Can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, we can hear you, Chair.
Thank you.
But we want to see your face.
My face in my video is on.
Why?
I can see
that. I'm going to work.
Yeah. No.
Give me over again.
No. She's connected. Yeah.
See Gideon.
I'm going to la push. Oh, yeah.
Welcome into the house.
Thank you.
You can carry on, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. Welcome back to the continuation of our process of NYDA interviews. Good afternoon, Ms. Moya. My name is Marentia Gillian. I'm the co-chairperson of the subcommittee who's dealing with the NYDA process. I'm also the chairperson of the Select Committee on the Health and Social Services. And the chairperson of the subcommittee is member Naba. And I will hand over to member Naba to introduce the members of the subcommittee as well as the technical team who is assisting us with this process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Over to you, honorable members, for...
Thank you, Chairperson. And good afternoon, Ms. Moya. My name is Dumelo Maluleke, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable chairs, and good afternoon, Ms. Moya. My name is Teddy Somkweba, the member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson, and sikubingelela nawe, Miss Moya, igama lami nguSibongile Khawule, member yaleli committee ngiyabonga.
Oh, thanks, Jefferson. I got absorbed in the...
in knowing the country.
Yeah. I wish I did. My name is Alec Nchavele. I'm a member of the subcommittee. Thank you and welcome.
Molo, Ms. Moya. Kumbule Lopaha. Ulilungu lale committee. Ngosi kakhulu.
Ngibonga kakhulu isihlalo, ngizingelele kuMs. Moya. Igama lami ufikile kwakwamasiko, ilunga lekomiti.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Luo Lompiti, and we welcome you, Ms. Moya.
Next to Mr. PT, Honorable PT is Dr. Tembe, our legal counsel from Parliament. And at the back is Ms. Jiba, the manager of the committee. Ms. Nelson Obatana, our committee secretary. Ms. Uzuki, France. She's one of the coordinators of the select committee in the SOT. You can have 45 minutes with us, and members will ask questions and make follow-up. So any member can make a follow-up on any question. And then we wish you good luck. Relax, make yourself comfortable, drink water, because I saw that even when we offered you lunch, you still never, you didn't want to eat. Kidvaka, but at least you can drink your water, and that's the more. Over to you, Chair. I think I'm done.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the introduction. Ms. Moya, I'm going to ask you your first question. Can you describe yourself to us? Who is Ms. Moya? And then also, can you give us an indication why you think you will be a perfect candidate for the NYDA board? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the firstly, thank you for this opportunity. As you've seen, my name is Nasipi Moya. Born and bred in Tata in the Eastern Cape in a village called Mbigwana. I did my junior schooling there up to grade 9. From there, I went to Cape Town. I spent my young adult life there. I did my high school and I did my higher education there, where I've obtained my highest degree, master's degree from the University of Cape Town in Public Policy and Administration. I started working in Cape Town. My career background is in academia. I was groomed in academia in research as well as some teaching. I worked in NGO. I've worked in politics for a political party, and I've worked as a public servant in the city of Tshwane for the past 3 years. I think the reasons why I am late is that being a young South African, especially my generation, which is very personal reason for me, is that I, at home, I've got younger brothers, I've got nephews and nieces who look up to me, to in my generation, to see which opportunities to pursue. And when I saw this opportunity or the advert of an NYDA board, it just became an obligation on my part that we don't miss out on opportunities like this. And then we sit on the sidelines and we want to blame people that, you know, but there are no opportunities. Only certain people occupy positions while we don't avail ourselves. So that is more of a personal reason, but more in line with my career. Over the past, it's been more than a decade now of working, I have groomed myself mostly in organizational development, in strategy design and implementation. Those are the skills that I have groomed myself over the years. And I would like to contribute using what I've acquired as a skill over the years. But most importantly, I'm currently at my last stages of my PhD. I'm doing it in nation so that one of the key tenets of the national youth policy is on social, is on nation building and social cohesion. And I thought, being one of the young South Africans that are focusing on nation building, that maybe I can also make my contribution. Though my focus is not on youth development, on my dissertation, but it is part of how we project the future of the country. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, Ms. Moya. I will hand over to you now, Chairperson, to take the questions on that side, please.
Okay.
So, Ms. Moya, I want to make a follow-up on your introduction. You said you were, I don't know whether you were or you are working in Tshwane Municipality. You were working in, or before the dissolvement. When was the municipality dissolved, by the way? Oh, okay. All right. Honorable members, it's your turn now. Tatin Shabling, Abu Baha, Honorable Mam Kaula, Mam Maluleke, Honorable Mpichi, Honorable Masiko, or Honorable Weber, the last one.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Memoya. There are multiple views in society which suggest that the NYDA Act needs to be reviewed. The NYDA Act has been in existence for the past 10 years. A process has already been started to review the Act of the NYDA. What will your input to the NYDA Act be, such that it can be more effective for youth development? What will be your interventions, let's say, in relation to the amendment of the Act? Thanks. For instance, we sent in the act, we sent
we need to make sure that they might be to make sure that they strategy is a policy to detect to involve the traditional aspects of society, including education, health, what is missing from where I'm standing, what does that mean? When you say that you want to intervene, what does it mean? Because as any entity, it was designed to guide you, but I think we need more than guidance. I thought our leader was I think mostly on the strategy and the policy that we need more intervention. One that is unique in terms of the debate that are running around.
There's a problem of his sound again. I have received a message.
Can I press?
Right. You can continue.
Okay, thank you. So as I was saying, I think what needs to be reviewed in the main is who gets to run the NYDA. The way it is now, it's very, I think as people normally say about the Constitution, it was drafted for good times. NYDA, it has to be drafted for the bad times in terms of be very, there's one thing that the NYDA has been, the Act has been silent on is the issues of redress. When you say, so it's just one element in the Act that talks about, the guiding principle is that you acknowledge the past and the injustices of the past. But question is, what does it mean in 2020, for instance, after we have had the experiences, the nation, in how youth happening in the society, we know what the challenges are facing us. What will then the Act say?
The sound is still bad. Sorry, Nasibi. They say the sound is still bad. Oh, a network problem from. Oh, okay.
There's many people on Facebook as well as on YouTube that are flagging the sound as a problem. So I don't know whether the sound becomes problematic when questions are being asked or when Ms. Moya is responding, because it might be there, but there are people saying, okay, people are saying it's good now on the Facebook page, YouTube also. So I don't know. Maybe it was what the gentleman is saying. People are saying they can hear. So
that means Nasip, you must only remove our code. Wait. Oh. When communities are complaining, you can't continue. You must check. What is the problem? So it's DSTV. Second level bit for the parliament, ne? Yeah. It's better now. Okay.
Can I continue?
Well, but when you are responding, it becomes bad. Okay. So maybe some if I go open, we are also under the email. Okay.
Okay.
You can speak.
Okay, no problem. So as I was saying, in terms of the inputs that I would have, I think most specifically would be that the Act be very precise in terms of in context, taking into account the lessons that we've been learning as a country, the past 12 years that the Act has been in place, and also just make sure that in the Act we are very clear in terms of who gets to run the NDA in terms of the skills, the qualifications, etc. So that would be my response in terms of the input on the Act. Thank you.
Yeah, that means the way you were treated that last time, that was the problem. Because they were saying when you respond, they can't hear. Thank you. It's you. Okay.
Enkosi sesiyabulela ngempendulo osinike zona. Umbuzo wami uthi, do you foresee any signs of economic breakthrough for young people? And what should be done to address youth unemployment specifically? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Signs of an economic breakthrough for youth, I mean, looking at the national economic trajectory right now, I would say unless we do something, I don't see much positive coming out of our economy, especially for the youth currently. Now, on the issue of then what can we do, before I get to the questions about unemployment, is that obviously we will be sucking on the bosoms of the country's direction in terms of the economy, that we will have to get to a point where we resuscitate our economy, especially after COVID-19. That's the first thing that we need to do. But what it means is that we'll have to take advantage of the opportunities that COVID-19 gives us in terms of making sure that we start manufacturing in the country, agricultural opportunities, we need to take advantage of those. We need to now take fourth industrial revolution very seriously. And those are all the things that will make us to resuscitate our economy. Now, question is, where does the youth fit into all of that? My personal view and a very strong view of mine is that none of that should happen without the youth. If you're saying that you want to resuscitate the agricultural sector, what is it that the youth will be doing? What is it that is designed for the youth? What are the opportunities? And this is where then the agency like the NYDA become very important, that for every sector that comes or industry that moves to South Africa, for instance, through the FDI that the president is looking for or is going around the world, you know, doing everything to attract, question is then, what is the NYDA's role in facilitating those opportunities for the youth? So for me, then, it's the matter of knowing that whatever we do for the country right now, the youth is right at the center of that. And I mean, that is not far from what the NDP said. He said, towards the 2030, whatever the country is doing, whatever we're projecting and whatever the dreams and aspirations of the nations are going into 2030, the youth has to be at the center of that. So my thing is that once we get that right as a country in terms of where we want, in terms of facilitating the economy of the country, you put the youth at the center of that. Question now, in terms of unemployment, I mean, it's devastating, the statistics. To know that of the 59% of people who are unemployed in this country, or 59% of those who are unemployed in the country is the youth, it's very devastating. Now, things that you can do immediately, which is you look for opportunities for the youth, but there will have to be the short-term plans, which is whatever opportunities that are available, youth that have the skill, have the capacity, they can then get into those opportunities. Not that they are not contested, they are very much contested, but at the back of that plan, you then have to have a midterm plan where you say, for those who will be looking to be employed in the next 5 years, what is it that you do for them? Now, that's where you look at skills development, for instance, the apprenticeship and the opportunities in terms of getting them into TVET colleges and all that. But then we also have a problem in South Africa, and it's going to be a problem that will be called unemployment in the next 10, 15 years, where you've got kids, about 55% of the kids who start grade one, but the question is, what do you do with those ones? Because in the next 20 years or 10 to 15 to 20 years, those are going to be the people that we will be talking about and say, no, they make the 59% of the unemployed population in the country. Now, my thing is that you then have to understand, share that that you can do in the immediate, which will greatly favor the youth that is skilled, that is ready, it's been prepared for economic participation. And then you're going to then have to prepare the ones that still need to get the skills, but and they are ready for you, that you can develop them going forward. But also make sure that the dropout, we deal with the dropout as the nation, is going to kill us in the long term. When we talk about, so what do we do in terms of the economy, if we don't take care of that problem, in the long run, there will be economy, but it will be without the youth, as we know. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Bingelele, Mhlonishwa uMoyo, kwasazana nami. Bangi presentation yakho okukhombisa ukuthi nawe uyimisele ukubona ukuthuthukisa le ntsha yala eSouth Africa. No, owami umbuzo la, ezami iy'khalo zithi la eSouth Africa sinabantu besifazane abafayo, ababulawayo, kungasho ukuthi bayafa, ababulawayo. Uma ngikhuluma ngabantu besifazane ngibala nezingane. La uthola khona ukuthi bayarashwa, abanye baba abanye bayabulawa ngenxa njengalabantu abayinhlophe esigubu. Inhlophe esigubu yilabantu abanebala elimhlophe. Ngenhloso yokuthi mhlambe kuyokwenziwa imithi ethize. Kanjalo futhi ney'ngane ziyatholakala zifile, zireshiwe, ezinye zitholakale zifile, kuthathwa amaphathi azo omzimba. Amanye amakhesi khona ngamfonela isihlalo sangatholana kahle umuzi owodwa otholakala ukuthi kuney'ngane ezuthiwe yishonile, enye iyagula. Ngizobuya ngimthinte nje isihlalo. Umbuzo wami-ke, uma sekuthatha mhlambe kwenzeka ungena kule bhodi, le mpe engaka ebhekiswe kubantu besifazane bogogo, ungasiza kanjani? Kanjalo nasemsebenzini, labantu basebayizisulu, ngoba uma ngabe mhlambe u-aplayile njengoba nawe u-aplayile, ilokhuzana yakhe, interview yakhe izoba ucansi. Umbuzo wami ukuthi-ke, kizo zonke lezo zinto, yini ongasilekelela ngayo ukuthi sinibone njengebhodi, nigqugquzele ukuthi kuyiwe phansi kubantu bayokwashiswa, bazame nokuthi baboniswe ukuthi into abayenzayo ayikho right. Namacala avuliwe siwabone beboshwa, ngoba imost yamacala ngithuka isimanga, uthole ukuthi umuntu ubulele kodwa kusasa uyambona ungaphandle. Yilokho nje bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi uzosiza ngani. Baphelile abantu besifazane, u-51% mningi kabi abantu besifazane beshona. Ngiyabonga.
Ngiyabonga, honorable member. Yeah, what you're describing is very, it's, it's a challenge that the nation really needs to address as soon as possible.
Sorry, Chef. Sorry, my love. I example lenzo tingi kwenze lona sithandwa sami bese ngithi siphelile lento ngithi ngapha komzimu komoya lesiphingo kusatholakala kutholakale ukuthi khona imaligaji futhi again obadonsa ngendlela yomsebenzi ukuthi abathembise imisebenzi kanti uzobavulana yini kezosisiza ngayo sithandwa sami nabo batshela labantu besifazane ukuthi abayeke uhamba belalela abantu.
Thank you. This is one of the complex problems that it's not supposed to be in our country. I think we've been making excuses for this for a very long time that it just needs to end. But the response to it can't be a one-size-fits-all. It has to be a multi-pronged approach in terms of who do you get involved. Now, if I were to be appointed as a member of the NYDA board, it doesn't make me a Justice Department, for instance. It means that some of to it. The first one for me is on the awareness and communication. We take it for granted that old women, old people, old children, they may know what to do when that happens to them. Now, before we even get to say when it happened or when you raise awareness, what has happened, there are causes to these things. There are root causes, I may call them. There are root causes in terms of no person wakes up just wanting to kill somebody. The question is, as a society, what is it that we teach? Which cultures do we instill in our society? There's one thing that I think our society is guilty of, is this thing of entrenching the patriarchal culture. There's a difference in appreciating that there are men and women, but the moment you make it that the presence of men should be at the expense of women, that should never be allowed. And there are cultural practices in our country that still support that. And from there, it's one of the ways in which then you breed such behaviors. It's just one of the ways. That's the first thing. Question is, as a society, what discussion, what dialogues and conversations do we have in order to know, to alert ourselves that there are cultural practices that we need to refrain from? Because at the end of the day, they may lead to a woman who's being beat down because they are told, you know, I'm the man, you know. That's the first thing. Second thing for me is, when that happens, who is there to look after the interest and protect these people? We've got the justice system. We've got the police. When you then say to me, but it happens that a person is arrested today, tomorrow those people leave, they are set free. And you ask yourself, what is the problem in that system? Because it's just, it doesn't sound right. Now, the other way is the way we see the legal support to victims. It's one thing that the country needs to take seriously, that you don't get perfect legal support just because you've got money, that you've got institutions like your legal aid. What support do they get in order to make sure that the victims who can't afford legal fees, that they will get the support that they deserve? Now, you then get to a point where once you've got the justice system that is also alert and very aware of what needs to happen, you know that once a person is a victim that they want, that you've got the society that understands that what is being taught in society, what implications and what consequences that has in the fight against the femicide, against all these brutal atrocities that happen in our community. Raising awareness. You don't stop, in fact. You have to raise awareness. There are women who keep quiet because they don't know where to go. You put the systems in place, but no one is there to use the systems because they don't know they exist. They don't know that you can go to legal aid and get the support that you need. They don't know the number to call in case they get beat down in the next 4 hours late at night. So those are the things that you then need to raise awareness about. But you don't do it only when there's a case. These are things that require ongoing communication, but not only from one entity. The Department of Justice must be active in these things, in raising awareness and in encouraging victims to come out. And also, most importantly, victims won't go to a system that don't seem to be assisting them. So if I hear that Ichomiam went to report and the person is out, which will lead to more victimization, I won't go. I won't be encouraged to use to suppress me. Now, what you then need to do is that those people who do these horrible things, they must be punished. We must have a justice system that seems to be working because we see the results of it. Now, the sad part is when you go on and on for years and where you either never who the culprit is or the culprit come back to society in the next 2 years because there was lack of evidence or something like that. So for me, it's a multi-pronged approach in terms of getting all the players that are relevant involved. And where I see the role of an entity like an NYDA for me is when you then be the voice of youth, but also lobby and facilitate collaboration between the players that you need in order to resolve the problems that face your clients, which is the youth in this instance. So, and also, I mean, in terms of this, we've got a lot of institutions in South Africa. You've got your Commission of Gender Equity. What is it that you talk to them about? How often do you talk to them? The stats of people are getting killed are going up, especially of women. Question is, what is their role? How do you collaborate so you can capitalize on all the efforts that the relevant institution has to play?
Thank you very much. The next member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mamoya. You know, there's this perception that the NYDA is not for all youth in our country. What is it that can be done to change the negative narrative or perception amongst our young ones? And lastly, you know, during this COVID-19, it has really exposed some of the challenges that we have faced, and it needs us to change the way we see things or the way we do things. Then, I would like to know, what is it that you can do if you are given a chance to be a board member of the NYDA to ensure that NYDA is visible even in deep rural areas? Yes, I know that there are many satellite offices in district office municipalities, but there's a problem of a young person who's in deep rural area who doesn't have money for transport to go and access the product or any project or any benefit that they can get from the NYDA. And if you are given that opportunity to be a board member, what can you do to assist that young person? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Yeah, the negative perception of the NYDA, the perception is there that the NYDA is for the selected few. I think sometimes it's difficult to defend what is. But I think for me, what needs to happen is that the young people of the country need to see themselves in the NYDA. And whoever gets to be associated with the NYDA, whether it's the board members or the executive of the NYDA. the more they see, they don't see themselves in it. So what I'm trying to say is that NDA has to go beyond the demographics. It has to speak to people where, when I look at the board, I see someone I would like to be, or I would like to do what they have done. So you would want to know that there has been a person from Limpopo in the NYC from Limpopo, because that is more close. If you're studying law, you'd like to know that one day you can be, you know, you can be part of the NYDA because you're studying law. So the principle of representation in the understated, we need to see the reflection of the youth of the country in the way NYDA. The moment you've got people who look at it and say, no, but I can't relate. And I'm not saying all 70 million young people will say, I can relate to the seven people. I'm just saying there's more of those who say, I can't relate to the NYDA. Then there's no way of having a positive perception in that, because you lack ambassadors. So in each and every board member, they have to produce ambassadors, where I say, because of so-and-so is there, I see myself, I will go tell others that NYDA is for all of us. If X can make it, that means anyone can make it, then people will then relate to such an organization. So for me, I'm saying, unfortunately, the onus is then on the committee to make sure that the board of the NYDA is a representative of the youth, and youth can identify with the NYDA. In terms of let me start with the issues of the changes that COVID-19 has brought to us. I mean, it didn't only affect us as the country, it affected the world globally. When I was responding to Honorable Baha earlier, I was talking in terms of the industries, for instance, that we need to focus on as the country. And I think the gap has come very clearly because of COVID-19. Is that firstly, in terms of the NYDA, there's this perception that when you have an office close to my town, that you're close to me. And you've put it very clearly, that's not close. If I don't have the means to get to where the office is, that's not close to me. It can be 10 kilometers from me. If I'm disabled and I don't have the money to get there, then it's not close to me. Question is then, how does NYDA define access? Access to information, access to products and services that the NYDA offers. Now, you ask yourself, what do we know about youth? How many phones? Those cell phones, which were, how many have smartphones, how many have WhatsApp, those things like that. And then you design your product offer, or the platforms that you offer your services according to that. Now, there's this assumption that if broadcasted parliamentary TV, all South Africans have access to it. That's not true. There are people, most young people, they watch, for instance, these interviews via Facebook. And the question is, how much of your population, young population, have access to Facebook? Then you broadcast there. That's access, because it's close to them if they can get it. Those who can afford $20 to go to town to go to the office, they should get the same service. Those who can get it from WhatsApp, there's something amazing about WhatsApp now, where you have robots responding to you. If you say, I'm looking for job opportunities, they respond and take you to the relevant site. Those are the things that I think NYDA needs to be very proactive. But you can't do that if you don't know who you're designing or you're offering your services to. Now, you've got, you know how many young people you have, but and I will blame the NYDA for this. The NYDA in the website, and believe me, I've been living in that website, it doesn't go down to tell you, of the 17 million, 25%, and this is a reliable information where you say 25% of these people have degrees, they are employed. 12% of these people, they're actually not even looking for work. And this is information that you got from young people in South Africa. You can then partner up with Steph SA and say, please make sure we've got reliable information about the youth of the country. So we design the products and services and how we offer these to them. Now, here's the thing. If you don't do that, you're going to have these generic platforms that won't get you anywhere, where you assume, just because I've got a smartphone, I check Twitter every hour, which I don't. Now, question is, but I would have told you, if you put it on Facebook or if you email me as a young person, then that's access to me. So there will be a point where entities and national institutions stop telling what people, what they're about, and you ask them. And the technology is there. You can get this information in a week if you do it with, like, partnering with relevant institutions. Now, in terms of then decentralization, because that's when you say you've got a national entity like the NYDA, how do you make sure that there's uniformity in the way that you offer your services and products? That Gauteng, Cape Town, or people living in metros, they've got more access to NYDAs than people in areas. Question is, how is it that, how do you then reach me when I'm home in Bikwan the same way that you reach me when I'm in Pretoria where I stay? And those are the things that the NYDA need to work harder on them in understanding what the youth of the country is about and not... and do away with this generic approach in saying, but if Zimbabwe does it this way, that means we can also offer it this way. Thank you.
Memoya, you, in your answer to the question about perceptions of people about the NDA, you answered so well. But I actually want to know, what is your perception? Because you've articulated other people's perceptions of the problem.
In all of you, to me, NYDA is about the academic sense of the way the perception came from, the way we came from. I mentioned earlier that I spent my younger years, young adult years, in Cape Town. So I only moved to Gauteng before that, I've never seen NYDA as a place to go to, because, you know, you go to the office to find that section you're not as welcome as others. So if you don't know anyone, by the time you get there, you're not going to get the same thing that you want. So then there's a time where for me, NYDA is meaningless. Until, I think, when I started working for the and when people come and then ask ourselves, so when young people are coming looking for solutions, who is in the city that can assist the institution in assisting the young people in trying to go? So it's from that moment for me that I just stop and teach. Let's see if they ask, if they don't give, they don't give, if they give, then that's great. So when I saw this opportunity, I again told myself, let it be proved and correct, but I'm not going to be part of those people. I will submit my application and I'll see where it goes. So for me, it's been a then I'll train myself to wanting to trust the NYDA and hope that it doesn't disappoint me. But initially, the NYDA was not the institution to go to when I need help with that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much for your responses. I received from your CV as well as your introductory remarks when you made mention of your time spent in academia, and I must say that I'm quite impressed with that. And I'm sure that you will also agree with me that it's always important for government as a whole or any public or private institution to implement research-based interventions. So now, what then would you, or what strategies would you devise to ensure that the agency implements research-based interventions should you be appointed in the board?
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think I touched on this earlier when I was talking about the way to mine data about the young people in South Africa. That in research, obviously, it's driven by the vision and the strategy that you have in mind and what you need to use it for. It's very important that an entity like the NYDA is responding to as most as accurate situation about the young people. So the first thing is to make sure that you've got the capacity in the entity. And when I say in the entity, I'm not talking internally where you appoint or have a division, you know, that will only look for one project. The advantage in South Africa is that there's a lot of people that are duplicating or are doing exactly what the NYDA is doing. Now, the first thing is to make sure that you know who those people are, that you don't look for data that already exists. But as the entity, you need to design the make sure that the capacity is there, where you design your own research in order to respond to the challenges facing the youth, but most importantly, so you are able to deliver the relevant products and services to the young people. So that obviously when it comes to operationalization of it, you'll have to have the research design. How do you mine your data about the young people you go, because sometimes in the way you do your research, for instance, you would want to know about the youth unemployment, for instance. Question is, what is it that you want, which is geared towards the objectives of the agency. So for me, what is mostly important is that you build the relationships with institutions that are already doing what you are looking for, and then from there you can customize it to suit your needs. But I agree with you, it's very important to have evidence-based decision-making, or else you'll be shooting in the air. You'll think that you've resolved 90% of the problem, only to find out that it doesn't concern you. The problems you've solved, they don't concern you. But more than anything is that you will then have to design the research and to define it correctly. What is it that you need to get out of it? And that does require capacity, that you need a capacity. But more than anything, I would say the agency, which doesn't really have time. If you can get people who can do it for you or with you, I think that would be the best for me.
Okay, thank you for the response, Ms. Moyo. What's your view on the effectiveness of the skill development programs that are currently being rolled out by the National Youth Development Agency, both the credited ones and the ones that are unaccredited, the soft skills that are being rolled out?
I think, as any course would be, it would, and giving skills to people is effective. My concern is the scale. That when you then say we've developed 80,000 out of 17,000 or out of 8,000 of those who need the skills. My thing is that it's effective because that's what the agency does, but I think the agency misses a lot of the same programs that are being implemented across the country. And I think, yes, the agency can develop these programs, but it can be their daily bread, that their job is to programs. They develop these programs as a blueprint that they can then give to organizations that are doing similar work in order to roll out. So my issue with the NYDA is the scale, that if we then say we task the NYDA to roll out this, we will never get or achieve the national NYDA effective. Once you get to a point where you say it's effective, it can be used in the country, then get people who do similar things across the country to adopt your blueprint, you move on, you know, you go for other products and services. What you then do is to make sure you monitor that once you give them your blueprint, that they offer quality and also that they contribute to the national target.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to engage. Thank you, Ms. Moyo, for your contributions. On the point of youth unemployment, many young people are beginning to prefer to work in the professional formal sector rather than starting their own businesses. Many will argue that this is largely due to the lack of role models or networks within the space, and also feel that the economy is unstable to start a business, and therefore there are no guarantees. So if you do enter into an entrepreneurial space, you are entering into a very risky, as what they would say, risky business. And so young people would rather prefer formal employment, as what many people will say, to work for someone, because there's more stability and you know that you are going to get your salary at the end of the month, it's guaranteed. Whereas with entrepreneurship, there is no guarantee. So I would like to ask you, based on that, if you are appointed onto the NYDA board, how will you contribute to that particular space of encouraging and creating sustainable solutions for young people who want to enter the entrepreneurial space, and also without discounting the current programs that the NYDA has, how will you add or change those current programs to ensure that young people in that space can engage sustainably?
Thank you, Honorable Member.
You didn't hear the last part.
Yeah.
The last part is to say that looking at the current programs and disbursement of funds by the NYDA to entrepreneurs, what more can be done or changed should Ms. Moyo be appointed onto the NYDA board from her own perspective?
Okay. That's a very good question.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I must say it's very difficult to encourage entrepreneurship in a country where most people live below poverty lines, because all they're looking for is not your healthy economic participation. What they're looking for is to have money, to have something to eat. You know, we're in a position as a country where most people are working to eat more than the future-orientated way of looking at economics. But it should not be that way. That's the reality, but we can't be, you know, skewing in that reality. We do need to think about the future. And for me, the first thing that I think is very important is that while it's nice to a business that you want it to be a million generating, you know, business, we also need to tell the youth that informal sector is not bad. It's part of the economy that they can delve into informal sector. So the more we promote that and we support the internet, you will see, the more you'll see young people who will be dual roles, where I know I can work during the day, but I know I can sell my fruit at the end of the day. So to me, that's one of the things that we tend to ignore the value of informal sector in the country, and we need to take that seriously. Secondly, we need to talk about economy, not like this a subject matter that's in the sky that you only find in textbooks when you do economics 101 at universities, that if you have a product to sell and you have identified the market, you should be getting assistance. Assistance doesn't only mean money. It means the support. You know, you can go and ask, so how do I make sure that my books are in order? That's a form of assistance. The problem that we have is that we have all these mega support. They are good on paper, but they are not tailor-made for young people. That if I say, I don't want to be on the JSE until in the next 10 years, question is, do I know what kind of support do I need? Once I know that, do I know? Now, the moment you start making business to be as close as possible to the life, to our realities, that a business, in fact, is you having a product or service that you can offer and people pay for it. That's business. Now, question is, what do you need in order to make it sustainable and to make it profitable? Now, this is where then the NYDA needs to come in. And it goes back to the question about the evidence-based decision-making in terms of how we then design the services and products that we offer. Question is, do they respond to those young people? And we also have young entrepreneurs who have made it. They've managed to sustain their businesses. They are profitable. Question is, what is their role in encouraging these entrepreneurs who are still doubting, who are still not sure whether they will make it or not? What is the role of those who have made it in terms of mentoring the new ones? All they can do is to get the relevant players on board. So I think for me, in encouraging young people to delve into business, the first one is to make sure they understand that informal sector is also part of the economy. Secondly, we tailor make the support that we offer to young entrepreneurs, that they respond to the problems that they have. Now, in terms of the funds, yes, it's all good and well to offer funds only to those who need the funds. But also, there's this tendency of people considering funds, government funds, as free money. Question is, the NYDA, how do you capitalize from the businesses that you have supported financially to make sure that they are sustainable, they are profitable, that the young entrepreneurs, that they grow. And then you use the success stories to motivate the ones entering the economy. But for me, I think it's just a matter of, if you know it's possible, I'm sure, I mean, obviously with the economy being stable, the national economy being stable, of course, that then you know that it's just a matter of seeking help, and you know that you know the help, and you know that you're going to get the kind of help that you need, not what one has thought.
To your follow-up, it's a quick one. Thank you so much for that response. Just quickly, I just wanted to find out from you, how will you, if appointed, contribute to corporate governance of the NYDA and improving it? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. I think I mentioned when I was introducing myself that one of the skill that, or skills that I think I can say I've acquired over the years, is first in organizational development. With that, in strategy design and implementation. So if there's a strategy, I can, without a doubt, implement it for you. And I mean, including the M&E, the finances, the administration of the organization, up to reporting. So those are the skills that I've acquired over the years. So I think for me, that would be my main contribution. As I was saying, I think, yeah, because I've run divisions in institutions where I've done this work. So I think I could make my contribution mostly in organizational development.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and Ms. Moy, I've listened to you when you respond to Mama Kaula. My simple question to you, if you can be recommended and appointed to the NYDA board, what will be your advices or your workable programs you can bring to intensify against patriarchy and affirm the positive presence of young women on the ground throughout all departments, all levels of government, so that young women and young persons with disabilities, their voices are heard. And so that also we then instill independence to young women whom are victims of gender-based violence and patriarchy. Then what will be those workable programs that you can bring to the NYDA board? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. The advantage of what you're asking, or the so to the response to what you're asking, is that it's in the Constitution. Whatever programs that I can talk to, they need to be around the issues of equal opportunity and equal treatment. And I mean, these are things that are in our Bill of Rights, that what we need to make sure is that we live the values or the principles and what is contained in our Bill of Rights. But it's not as easy. I did mention earlier, and you're talking to it now, the issue of patriarchy. How do you get to tell women in the country that whatever they've been believing over the years, that they are inferior in one way or the other to other people? How do they see themselves as equal to those people? I think for me, the promotion of our constitutional values, that's the first thing for me. If people understand and appreciate what the Constitution African in this country, I think will make a long way. But I mean, you take it a level down. The issue of awareness and communication, I can't overstate, like I can't state it enough, that if you don't tell people, they will not know. That if you don't communicate it in a language they understand, they won't understand what you say. And in a space where you communicate to them and it changes their environment or their presence in that environment, if you don't protect them, they won't participate. And so for me, talking to myself, I've been a young manager in a space where it was male-dominated. It was, in some instances, it was dominated by white people. Question is, how did I make it? And it was, personally, it was through the people who would show me first. You know, you see another young black woman talking on TV like, but me too. But it then talks to the issue of equal treatment. If we, and equal opportunities, if we then allow women to progress and be in these positions, in positions of power, and they, it's one way of communicating, because those who identify with those people, then they will be able to identify and learn from them. And then the other thing is that we when we talk about gender-based violence, we always want to advise women, but women don't abuse themselves. Women get abused by men. Who's talking to the men? Who's talking to my 15-year-old nephew to say, listen, this must never happen. You cannot treat your female classmates this way. This is how it makes them feel. Now, there are organizations across the country that are grooming the young boys. They are talking to their male counterparts. They run programs in prisons to make sure that men understand that their actions, this is how they make the women feel. So then when you do it from a position of the NYDA, obviously this is a now, what is it that we want to advance as values? As I said, for me, the main values should be always be the constitutional values. All these things that we want and aspire to for each and every South African, they're contained in the Bill of Rights. Now, we then need to make sure we enforce those, we promote those, and we communicate them in a way that they are understood. Now, when I say that, does it mean that a person, say a 21-year-old Makoti back at home in the Eastern Cape, Obed Kwelwe, would they understand that? That in fact, you don't have to stay in the Eastern Cape while your husband is in Cape Town. You can actually go to Cape Town and find a job as well, because you're as part of this family as much as he is. Would he understand? Would she understand that? And these are the things where you can do all these things from a legislative point of view, but if you don't get into society and the leaders of the society speak to their people, then they won't understand you because they don't understand what you're about. But if it's the people that have, that they know that they're familiar with, they start having these discussions to say, but can we just not live like it's the 80s or the 70s? That 2020, everything costs money. So one way or the other, people must find a way to develop themselves, empower themselves. And in that way, I think women will then start getting empowered. There's a lot of things that you wouldn't learn from home, but once you're in a workspace in an education institution, you get to learn those things. It's then the issue of our talking about equal opportunities and equal treatment. Allow women to occupy these spaces. The fact that we find ourselves in boardrooms where out of 15 people, only 2 are women, those things must stop. Everybody in the room must be conscious of those things, but we're not diverse enough. But we don't have this. We don't have this. So it should always be that way. But I'm saying you can do all the fancy programs, but if you don't implement it or communicate it in the way that people understand and be sensitive to knowing that we are a diverse country, one voice just won't do it. Now, reproduce as many brand ambassadors as much as possible, that every person of power needs to be conscious of these things and they communicate accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tetelin. What do you follow up? Thank you very much, Ms. Moyo. Chair?
Yes, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Moya? Let me take the opportunity to thank you for honoring the invitation to come for the interview before us. I wish you well and